Good morning, church, and welcome to our second service today. And I want to welcome the visitors. I know we've got some visitors with us today. You're welcome here. We're so glad you're here. And if you'd fill out that visitor card, that'd be great. Gives us a way to reach out to you. And if you're watching online, and I want you to know we're glad you're with us. It's better to be in person. If you're within range, it's better to be in person, but we're glad you're with us today. I'll give you up front. Today's a heavy topic. It's a hard message, but it's important that we know this truth today. The Bible tells us that God gave King Solomon, the son of David, supernatural wisdom. Let's start with that. King Solomon, the son of King David, received something that nobody else got, a supernatural wisdom. God specifically gives this wisdom and understanding to Solomon because he desired it so that he might faithfully govern Israel as his father had. Why? The Bible doesn't say exactly, but we can estimate that Solomon was about 20 years old when he became king of Israel. Do you think at the age of 20 you'd need some supernatural wisdom? Understand that when Solomon became king, Israel was the world's superpower. So here's a 20-year-old going to take the leadership of the world's lone superpower, Israel. 1 Kings 3, verse 9. This is Solomon speaking to God. Give me an understanding heart so that I can govern your people well and know the difference between right and wrong. For who by himself is able to govern this great people of yours? The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for wisdom. So God replied, because you have asked for wisdom in governing my people with justice, and if not asked for a long life or wealth or the death of your enemies, I will give you what you ask for. I will give you a wise and understanding heart such as no one else has had or ever will have. Did you get that? No one before or no one after will have the wisdom that I will place upon you, Solomon. And I will also give you what you did not ask for, riches and fame, and no other king in all the world will be compared to you for the rest of your life. Now, I believe, based on that scripture, that Solomon could see and understand things that normal people could not. And that wasn't just for that day. The scripture is clear that no one before or after, even up till now, no man would have the level of wisdom and understanding that God gave this man Solomon. So what did Solomon see? If this is true, if Solomon received this supernatural gift of God, and it went upon him, and he has this wisdom and discernment like no one else has ever known, what did he see? What did he see when this happened? What he saw is recorded in the book of Ecclesiastes. So you and I can look at the book of Ecclesiastes and catch a glimpse of what wisdom of Solomon is revealed through the writings of Ecclesiastes. So let's go to Ecclesiastes 1, verse 9. History merely repeats itself. Let that sink in for a moment. This is the wisdom of Solomon. What did he see? He saw this. History merely repeats itself. It's all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here's something new. Actually, it's old. Nothing is ever truly new. We don't remember what happened in the past. Now, this is so important. Why can't I remember what happened in the past? There's something blocking your ability to know that. So nothing, we don't remember what happened in the past, and in future generations, no one will remember what we're doing now. Now, this is the wisest man, supernatural wisdom that's ever been, and he says, history is just repeating itself. Is that true? You know how important this would be to understand? Is that true? History is merely repeating itself. And what does that mean? Different characters, different people, but living out the same things in different times. Is that true? Is that true that there's nothing truly new under the sun? Is that true? People will not remember what happened in the past as they repeat the past in their generation. It's just new people doing the same thing over and over again, but they don't know what they were doing, so you don't know that you're doing what they were doing because you don't remember. Is that true? So let me ask a question to illustrate this topic. There's nothing new under the sun. History is just repeating itself with new characters. There's been a lot of talk recently about the technology of the world before the flood. Let's think about the past. If history's repeating itself, there's nothing new under the sun, then I'm curious, what was it like before the flood? We all have this mindset, this kind of natural mindset, that they were very primitive people before the flood. Is that true? You know, the Bible says clearly, what we do know is the Bible says that the sons of God had relations with the daughters of men, and there were Nephilim on the earth, that angelic beings had mixed with women and created this supernatural race. What was their ability to have technology? What was it like before the flood? It's a good question. So if we're repeating ourselves, there's nothing really new under the sun. It makes me curious about what was it like back in the old days before the flood. There's been a lot of talk. So let's think about the flood. Let's think about after the flood. There was the Tower of Babel. How can you build something to heaven in those primitive times? What's all that about? It's a curious question. There's also been a lot of talk about the capabilities and technology of the people who built the pyramids. How did they build the pyramids? I mean, it's a pretty amazing thing to do it today with the technology and equipment of today. How did they build pyramids? And that's not the biggest point. I don't see how they built them back in that day without equipment. But if you study the pyramids, as some people have, do you know that they align with the heavens? That the positioning of the pyramids all align with the celestial host of heaven, the stars of heaven. How'd they know? There's nothing new under the sun. It's just history repeating itself. Then I'm curious about what was happening in history. In fact, recently there's these people, these scientists that have taken studies, and they're saying there's something underneath of those pyramids. Whoa. Some technology underneath of those pyramids. Now, listen, I'm not heading down that rabbit hole today, which I could, but I'm not going to. But if Solomon's the wisest man in the world, and he says he sees what no other person can see, and he says that there's nothing really new under the sun, it's history repeating itself with new characters, just the new characters don't know what happened before, so you don't know that you're doing what they already did. Then I'm curious about what they did and how they did it. What was technology like before the flood? Well, if there were supernatural angelic beings on the earth mixing with women, probably they're not like cave people, like we think. And what about after the flood when the Tower of Babel is being built and they're rebelling against God? They're going to make a way to heaven. What's all that about? And how deep was that technology? But there's one I'd like to give you that blows both of those away. One of the most intriguing and unexplainable technologies of the ancient world, and I had to practice this for a while and still messed it up in the first service, it's the Antikythera mechanism. And I doubt there are two people in the room that have ever heard of such a thing. The Antikythera mechanism is a complex bronze device. It was discovered in a shipwreck in 1901 off the coast of the Greek island called Antikythera. And they've dated this bronze device, are you ready? 100 years before Jesus. A bronze device was found in a shipwreck, 1901. But the device, they've dated its origins to 100 years BC, before Jesus. It's often called the world's first analog computer. Its sophistication baffles researchers because of its advanced engineering. Listen to its design. This is 100 years before Christ. The mechanism contains at least 30 interlocking bronze gears, some with teeth on the gears as small as 1 millimeter. Crafted with precision that rivals modern-day Swiss watchmaking. 100 years before Christ, they're making gears like Swiss watches. It was used to predict astronomical events like eclipses, lunar phases, planetary position, as well as tracking calendar cycles. 100 years before Christ. No other device from antiquity comes close to its complexity. The gear technology and mathematical precision suggest a level of knowledge not seen again until the 14th century, or even 1,000 years in the future. Unlike other ancient marvels like the pyramids, which can be explained through labor and engineering, the Antikythera mechanism complexity suggests a lost pinnacle of technological and mathematical expertise. So here's the question. This bronze device with its incredible craftsmanship 100 years before Christ, where'd it come from? Now, you know what the topic is. There's nothing new under the sun. Where'd it come from? How did they make such a thing 100 years before Christ? How did they make it? There's nothing new under the sun. You know what Solomon said? He said, we don't remember what happened in the past. There's nothing new. Now, I didn't do all of that to go down that road. I did all of that so that we could all know that we don't know what it was like in the past. I don't know what it was like before the flood, the technology. I know that the Bible tells us, that's the source of truth, that there were angelic beings mixing with humans and created some supernatural race that probably had some supernatural abilities before the flood, and they were around after the flood, and there's the Tower of Babel, and there's this device. Where'd all this stuff come from? Now, I don't want to jump into that, but I do want to jump into something. With all that foundation, we're going to go to the book of Ezekiel. If there is nothing truly new under the sun, and history is truly repeating itself with new characters, here's the foundation. If Solomon's wisdom is correct, if he can see, if God gave him the ability to see what no man can see, and yet he records what he saw in Ecclesiastes. If there is nothing truly new under the sun, and history is truly repeating itself with new characters, then I propose today an interesting parallel between Israel and the United States. That Israel, or specifically the southern kingdom of Judah, we, the United States, are repeating what they did before. I will admit that I've talked about this parallel before a couple of occasions, and I have said publicly on several occasions that I believe America is following the same dangerous road as the ancient nation of Judah. But something happened recently that required me to write this message. I was recently reading from the book of Ezekiel, and it hit me again, this time even more powerful than before. And that will be the main topic today. It's Ezekiel chapter 20, and reading Ezekiel under the context of King Solomon's statement. When I read Ezekiel 20, I read it under the idea that King Solomon had said, there is nothing truly new under the sun. History is just repeating itself with different character. Now, that's in my mind as I read Ezekiel 20. And I'm asking, and I'm hoping that you can put in your mind the wisdom of Solomon as we open up chapter 20 of the book of Ezekiel. That there's really nothing new under the sun. History is just repeating itself with new characters. As I go through Ezekiel 20 today, I want you to look for the parallel between Israel, or the southern kingdom of Judah. And I wonder, I do, when I write this stuff, when the Holy Spirit does this to me, I wonder, are you going to see what I saw? And I've prayed since yesterday morning that you're going to see what I saw. There's nothing new under the sun. History is repeating itself with new characters. Here we go. I'm looking for the parallel. Now let me set it up. In the time of King David and King Solomon, Israel was the world superpower. Right now in America, we are the world superpower. Israel was founded on the Word of God. America was founded on the Word of God. Is there a parallel between the two courses, the two nations, thousands of years apart? Verse 1. On August 14th, during the seventh year of King Jehoiachin's captivity, some of the leaders of Israel came to request a message, came to Ezekiel to request a message from the Lord. They sat down in front of Ezekiel to wait for the Lord's reply. The context of this scene is very revealing. King Jehoiachin, the king of Judah, was taken captive by Babylon in 597 BC, 11 years before the fall of Jerusalem. This is important, so stay with me. This verse in Ezekiel says that these chapter 20 events happened in the seventh year of the king's captivity. Which means chapter 20, what I'm about to read to you today, is 3 to 4 years before the fall of Jerusalem and the end of the nation of Judah. It's 3 to 4 years out. Chapter 20 is about 3 to 4 years before Nebuchadnezzar comes and breaches the wall, burns the city down, kills all the Jewish people, destroys the temple. But there's another piece of the puzzle. The siege of Jerusalem lasted 2.5 years before they breached the wall. And that means the siege walls around Jerusalem are only a few months away when we get to this Ezekiel chapter 20. Are you with me? When Ezekiel chapter 20, we're going to read, happens, only a few months later, Babylon would come and build siege works around the city so that they can't come in and can't go out, and eventually starves them to death, so much so that the people inside the city are eating their children. That's what's happening. It's only a few months away, but here's the point. They don't know it. Judah doesn't know that in a few months, Babylon's going to build siege works around the place. They don't know it. The nation of Judah and the Jerusalem temple are about to fall. When we get to Ezekiel 20, the nation of Judah, the southern kingdom, and the city of Jerusalem and the temple is about to fall. They are in the final months and they don't know it. Remember this point. They don't know it. They don't know what's about to happen. So the leaders of Israel call the prophet Ezekiel and seek a word from the Lord. Now, you read that, it sounds reasonable until you read the rest of the chapter. They sat down and they waited for God to answer them through Ezekiel. And before I read the second verse, let me ask you a question. Did the people of Israel, the people of Judah, not already have a word from the Lord? They're coming to ask for a word from the Lord. That seems reasonable, doesn't seem out of place, until you read the rest of this chapter. And I ask you this question. Did the people of Judah not already have a word from the Lord? They already had a word from the Lord, and they didn't want that one, so they're looking for a new one. When they come to Ezekiel and ask him for a new word. Could this have any application to the church today? Any application, any parallel between the superpower of Judah and the superpower of America? Give me a word from the Lord. Well, I've already given you a word. Well, give me a new word from the Lord. Verse 2. Then this message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, that's what God called Ezekiel. Son of man, tell the leaders of Israel, this is what the sovereign Lord says. How dare you come to ask me for a message? As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I will tell you nothing. That didn't go well. Why do you think? Remember, there's nothing new under the sun. They already had a word. They already had a word from the Lord that they were refusing to obey. But they want a new word. They already had a word from the Lord. They already had in their possession the word, and they already had in their people prophets to teach them the word. But they wanted a new word. They didn't believe or want to obey the old word, the original word. We're just getting warmed up now. The Lord is not happy with these people, and he continues, verse 4. Son of man, bring charges against them and condemn them. Make them realize how detestable their sins of their ancestors really were. Give them this message from the sovereign Lord. When I chose Israel, when I revealed myself to the descendants of Jacob in Egypt, I took a solemn oath that I, the Lord, would be their God. I took a solemn oath that day that I would bring them out of Egypt to a land I had discovered and explored for them, a good land flowing with milk and honey, the best of all lands anywhere. That's how God looks at Israel, the best of all lands anywhere. And then I said to them, each of you get rid of the vile images you are so obsessed with. That's where idolatry was such a problem of them coming out of Egypt, because Egypt was filled with idolatry. And they had been 400 years in Egypt, so their culture has slid into idolatry. And he says, get rid of the vile images you are so obsessed with, and do not defile yourselves with the idols of Egypt, for I am the Lord your God. Now, we estimate that Israel had been in the land, when I get to Ezekiel chapter 20, Israel had been in the land from the time of Joshua's crossing to the time of Ezekiel. It's about 800 years. And it's about, and everything, they've been there 800 years, and all of it's about to come crashing down with these leaders coming up to Ezekiel and asking him for a new word from the Lord. Now, they're 800 years out of Egypt. They're 800 years in the promised land, and now everything's about to crash and burn, and they want a new word. And God brings up their past. 800 years ago, I brought you out of Egypt and told you to stop your pagan idolatry. I told you that I would be your God, and I would be your only God. And God brings up the oath. God brings up the covenant that Israel has continually broken. And what is the covenant? This is so important as we go through this today. The covenant is the word. And the word is the covenant. And they want a new word. When they have rejected the original covenant, the original word, they want a new word. Remember, there's nothing new under the sun. History is repeating itself. So stop in the story of Ezekiel for a moment. Let's come to today. America is right now 249 years old. This year we will be 250. Are there any parallels in this story? If history is merely repeating itself, nothing new under the sun, just new characters doing the same old thing that previous generations have done, is there a parallel between America and Judah? Let's keep going. God is going to reveal their 800-year history to them because they have obviously forgotten it. Go to verse 8. But they rebelled against me and would not listen. They did not get rid of the vile images they were obsessed with or forsake the idols of Egypt. And then I threatened to pour out my fury on them and satisfy my anger while they were still in Egypt. But I didn't do it, for I acted to protect the honor of my name, and I would not allow shame to be brought on my name or among the surrounding nations who saw me reveal myself by bringing the Israelites out of Egypt. So I brought them out of Egypt and led them into the wilderness. He's given them a review of their 800-year history ago. There I gave them my decrees. What does decrees mean? Word. There I gave them my decrees and my regulation. I gave them my word, and they so that they could find life by keeping my word. And I gave them my Sabbath days of rest as a sign between them and me, and it was to remind them that I am the Lord who had set them apart to be holy. God had already given these people a word. He had already given these people a word that would bring them life. Do you understand? The word was life. And now here they are at the end of the 800 years seeking a new word. But they had already rejected the original word, the original covenant of God. And they want something new. God continues to remind them of their national history, the rebellion. Listen, all of this centers about a single thing. And when I ask you about a parallel, I want you to think about this. Judah was built upon the word. America was built upon the word. Well, look at the founding documents. It was a people birthed in the word of God. America was a nation birthed in the word of God. What happened to Judah? They abandoned the word. They abandoned the covenant and the promises of God, which is the very word of God. Any parallel? Verse 13. But the people of Israel rebelled against me, and they refused to obey my word, my decrees. They're in the wilderness, and they wouldn't obey my regulation. There's the word. They wouldn't obey my word, even though obedience would have given them life. They also violated my Sabbath day, so I threatened to pour out my fury on them, and I made plans to utterly consume them in the wilderness. But again, I held back in order to protect the honor of my name before the nations who had seen my power in bringing Israel out of Egypt. But I took a solemn oath against them in the wilderness. I swore I would not bring them into the land I had given them, a land flowing with milk and honey, the most beautiful place on earth. For they had rejected my word, my regulations, and refused to obey my decrees, my word, and violated my Sabbath days. Their hearts were given to their idols. Notice the word. When you reject the word, your heart will naturally gravitate to a substitute. And it's called idolatry. When you reject the word, you will seek another god in your life. Idolatry. Verse 17. Nevertheless, I took pity on them and held back from destroying them in the wilderness. Now, don't lose the context. This is God speaking to the leaders in Jerusalem just a few months before the nation will fall. That fall would last for 70 years. Listen to me. That fall would last for 70 years, and then they would be regathered up through the time of Jesus, and in 70 AD, they would fall again. And that fall would last 2,000 years up until 1948. Stay with me. Is there a parallel? Now God addresses the next generation, not those who came out of Egypt. the next generation, the generation that comes after the wilderness, the first generation that lived in the promised land that flows with milk and honey. What's he say? Verse 18. Then I warned their children not to follow their parents. I warned the younger generation, don't be like your parents. Don't follow in your parents' footsteps, defiling themselves with their idols. I am the Lord your God. And I told them, follow my decrees. Here it is. Follow my decrees, my word. Pay attention to my regulations, my word. And keep the Sabbath days holy, for they are a sign to remind you that I am the Lord your God. God gave them a word, and God gave them a warning. Follow my word so that you won't die. Follow my word so that you won't die. This is the message of Ezekiel to the people of Israel. Follow my word so that you won't die. And here they are standing in front of Ezekiel seeking a new word. Verse 21. But their children too rebelled against me, and they refused to keep my word, my decrees, and follow my regulations, my word. Even though obedience would have given them life. And they also violated my Sabbath days, so again, I threatened to pour out my fury on them in the wilderness. Nevertheless, I withdrew my judgment against them to protect the honor of my name before the nations that had seen my power in bringing them out of Egypt. But I took a solemn oath against them in the wilderness. I swore I would scatter them among all the nations. I swore I would scatter them among all the nations. You know when that happened? Just a few months later. Do you understand? Just a few months after Ezekiel 20 is recorded, Babylon will build siege ramps around the city. And 2.5 years later, the walls will breach and they will fall. And those who survived were scattered around the nations. They were taken away as slaves to foreign lands. Verse 24. Because they did not obey my regulations. They scorned my decrees by violating my Sabbath days and longing for the idols of their ancestors. Now, before I get into the grand finale of this event, let me summarize. You did not obey the word I gave you. Any parallels? Judah and America? You violated my Sabbath, the event that separated you from the pagan world. You fell into idolatry and became like the nations that lived around you. Are you ready for this next part? Because I need to remind you, there is nothing new under the sun. History is merely repeating itself. And does this have any application today? America and Judah, the superpower of that day and the superpower of today. Any parallel? Anybody see it? Go to verse 25. I gave them over to worthless decrees and regulations that would not lead to life. If you don't want my word, if you generationally reject my word, my covenant promise, I will give you over to worthless decrees and regulations that will not lead to life. They'll take your life. I let them pollute themselves with the very gifts that I gave them. And I allowed them, listen, church, to give their firstborn children as offerings to their gods. So I might devastate them and remind them that I alone am the Lord. I wonder how many of you will see it. God said to Ezekiel, I gave them over. Generationally, I gave you my word. I gave you my presence. I traveled with you. I offered you life. I offered you prosperity. I offered you my blessing. I offered you would be my chosen people. And you rejected and rejected and rejected and rejected my word. And now you're standing in front of me asking for a new word. So I will turn you over. I have given them over to two things. Church, listen carefully. It's always two things. It's not like only two things, but there are two things at the top of the list: idolatry and the shedding of innocent blood. In this case, the shedding of innocent blood was directly linked to child sacrifice. When I let you go, I gave you a word that would give you life, but you rejected the word that would give you life. So you want another word. So you become like the world. And when you go to the world has false gods, and those false gods will require from you your children's life. And you will sacrifice your firstborn on the altar to please the God who brings death instead of life. Idolatry and the shedding of innocent blood. That's what happened when they abandoned God's word. Anybody listening? What's the natural progression of a human that rejects the word of God? Idolatry and the shedding of innocent blood. If you step away from this, where do you go? Idolatry and the shedding of innocent blood. Any parallel? Judah, it's what happened to Judah. America? Why? Why did he do it? Why did he let them go into, you don't want my word, I'll let you go and you'll go into idolatry and child sacrifice that I might devastate them. Do you understand that the siege would begin in just a few months? God knows it, they don't know it. When Ezekiel 20 happens, the siege that's going to destroy Jerusalem is just months away. Why? So that they might know that I am the Lord your God and there is none like me. So here's the question. Nobody wants to ask it, but I will. Are we as a nation, America, repeating the same events as ancient Judah? Yes. Is Solomon right? There is nothing new under the sun. History repeats itself. New characters, but the same events. What nation has been blessed with prosperity and greatness like America? We are 249 years old. We have lived under God's favor and God's protection like no nation in human history. And during those 249 years, there have been more missionaries traveling to other nations from America than any other nation in history. Now, I read a story recently where Chinese Christians are sending missionaries to America because they see what many in America can't see. Something has happened. History is repeating itself. Are you ready? Idolatry and shedding of innocent blood. It brought down the world superpower called Israel. And what will God do with this world superpower called America? Idolatry and shedding of innocent blood. Let me give these two words more modern names. Idolatry, shedding of innocent blood. Let me give you modern names for the two. Materialism and abortion. Child sacrifice. To God, it was the last straw. Read the story. To God, it was the last straw. God turned them over. He gave them over to worthless decrees and regulations that would not lead to life, but to death and destruction. When they came to, as a nation, when they came to this point, they rejected the word, rejected the word, rejected the word, rejected the word. So he says, okay, I'll let you go. And when they went directly into idolatry, and that idolatry led them to child sacrifice. And that was the last straw. So let me jump to God's answer to these men waiting for a word from Ezekiel. Remember how this thing started? They come to Ezekiel and say, we want a word from God. And they sat down and waited for a response. Are you ready for the response? Because I think the response has application then and it has application now. And let me ask you, anybody here have ears to hear? Is this the word of God? Is it the word of God today? Or is it some history? Verse 30. Therefore, give the people of Israel this message from the sovereign Lord. Do you plan to pollute yourself just as your ancestors did? Do you intend to keep prostituting yourselves by worshiping vile images? For when you offer them, when you offer gifts to your vile images and give your little children to be burned as sacrifices. This is Judah, the southern kingdom of Israel, offering their children as burnt sacrifices to false gods. You continue to pollute yourself with idols to this day. And should I allow you to ask for a message from me? Oh, people of Israel, as surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I will tell you nothing. They ask for a new word while refusing to listen to the old word. Anybody see a parallel? Give me a new word while I've rejected the old word. God's answer is, I'll tell you nothing. Idolatry and child sacrifice. There is nothing new under the sun. Idolatry is materialism, and child sacrifice is abortion. They are not new. It is history repeating itself. It creates the fall of a nation. What has been will be again. And it is happening right now. Let me give you a scale, because I think most people in the church, you don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. But the truth sets us free. Since 1973, in America, not the world, in America, 68 million children have been sacrificed on the altar of child sacrifice since 1973. You know what that number is? 68 million. My mind can't grasp that. So what I did to try to get some scale, I took the Kentucky, and Kentucky is surrounded by seven states. We're surrounded by Missouri, Ohio, Virginia, West Virginia, Tennessee, Illinois, Indiana. And I took the population of those eight states, Kentucky and the seven around us. And I went online to check the population of Kentucky and the seven states. Eight states, the population. I can't come up to 68 million. It's not enough. I have to add Virginia twice. You take an entire center of the nation, Kentucky and seven states, and they're all gone. They're all gone. They were offered as sacrifices on the altar to a pagan god. It was the fall of Judah. Let me ask you this. How do you think this message will go over today? Will you go home thinking, well, I feel better? Do you remember the context of this Ezekiel chapter 20? It's just a few months before a 2.5-year siege of Jerusalem will begin. Just a few months away. And I'm going to ask you a question. We've got historical perspective. Did the nation of Judah repent when Ezekiel told them this? No. They didn't believe him. They didn't listen. Any parallels today? You see, God's mercy was still there waiting for them to repent and turn back to them. God's mercy was there. If you'll repent, He offered them mercy. Now, this last part is amazing to me, historically and for us right now today. Do you want to see past, present, and future prophecy? It's chapter 20. It's all in there, past, present, and even our future. Verse 32, you say, we want to be like the nations all around us who serve idols of wood and stone. But what you have in mind, Israel, will never happen. As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I will rule over you with an iron fist, in great anger and with awesome power. And in anger, I will reach out with my strong hand and powerful arm, and I will bring you back from the lands where you are scattered. Do you realize that that scattering will only happen about 2.5 years after Ezekiel 20? They're going to be scattered. The ones that survive, most of them die, but the ones who survive are going to be taken away as slaves into Babylon and Persia. And he says that, I'm going to regather you. I'll bring you into the wilderness of nations, and there I will judge you. He's going to regather them, and then I'll bring you into the wilderness of nations. I will judge you face to face, and I will judge you there just as I did your ancestors in the wilderness after bringing them out of Egypt, says the sovereign Lord. I will examine you carefully, and I will hold you. Are you listening? I will hold you finally to the terms of the covenant, to my word, and I will purge you and all those who rebel and revolt against me. And I will bring them out of the countries where they are in exile, but they will never enter the land of Israel. Then you will know that I am the Lord. Do you want to know how all this turns out? It's in here. Do you want to know? All that was chapter 20. You know how chapter 21 begins? Verse 1. Then the message. This message came to me from the Lord. Son of man, turn and face Jerusalem and prophesy against Israel and her sanctuaries. Tell her, this is what the Lord says. I am your enemy. God said to Ezekiel, tell these men, I am your enemy. O Israel, and I am about to unsheathe my sword to destroy your people. And this is the heaviest part of the message today. I will unsheathe my sword against the righteous and the wicked alike. Just a few months after Ezekiel 20 takes place, Nebuchadnezzar builds a siege wall around the whole city of Jerusalem. And do you think the righteous didn't suffer? Everybody suffered. When God unsheathed his sword of judgment, they all suffered. I told you earlier, the women and the men were eating their children in the midst of their starvation. Yes, verse 4, I will cut off both the righteous and the wicked. I will draw my sword against everyone in the land from south to north. And everyone in the world will know I am the Lord. My sword is in my hand, and I will not return it to its sheath until its work is finished. Here's my closing today, and it can't come soon enough. Some of you in the room would say, what in the world does this have to do with us today? Some of you have no clue what any of this means. Some of you do. Materialism and greed in America are modern day idolatry. It's kind of fitting that this sermon is preached in the middle of the 127 yard sale. What a wonderful example of all that stuff that you needed in your life sitting out on the side of the highway. It's meaningless. It's all meaningless. It's all meaningless. There is nothing new under the sun. Apart from the word of God, it's all meaningless. And it's not like there's something wrong with having a car. It's not like there's something wrong with having a house. It's not like there's something wrong with having something nice. It's when any of that stuff takes your eyes off of God. It becomes your idol. And you don't know it's your idol. If you knew it was your idol, you wouldn't do it. But Satan is deceptive, and that's how he does it. The love of money is the root of all evil, not the money. Your eyes come off of God. And you don't know that you're not living your life to please him, but to please yourself with stuff that all ends up on the side of the road one day. in Colossians 3, verse 5. And before I read it, is it the Word of God or not? Is Colossians, see, I believe this is God speaking. And here's what he says. Put to death the sinful earthly things lurking within you. Put them to death. Don't toy with them. Don't play with them. Put them to death. What are they? Have nothing to do with sexual immorality, impurity, lust, evil desires. Don't be greedy, for a greedy person is an idolater, worshiping the things of this world. Don't do it. Why? Because his word is life. This is life. If you reject the word, you reject life. You don't know you're rejecting life or you wouldn't do it. But you're rejecting life. These are life words. History merely repeats itself, Solomon said. It's all been done before. Nothing new is under the sun. Child sacrifice is abortion. And in case there's still a few people in the room I haven't offended yet, hang on, you're coming next. Child sacrifice is abortion. And the Republican Party dropped its opposition to abortion before the 2024 presidential election so that they might get elected and make America great again. And I'll speak the truth. The one political party that held a stand against abortion before the presidential election dropped its stand against abortion so that they could get elected and make America great again. Is this how we will make America great again? By repeating history. There's nothing new under the sun. It brought down the world's superpower, Israel. It brought it to the ground. God's judgment came. Listen, who doesn't want to make America great again? I do. But you won't do it by advancing abortion and idolatry. You will do it by turning back to the God who speaks life, by turning back to him, not to man, not to political parties, not to systems, but to God in repentance. History merely repeats itself. It's all been done before. There's nothing under the sun that's truly new. People are looking for a new word today from God while rejecting the word that he has already given us to live by. And I hear God from heaven saying, it will never happen. The Apostle Paul says that if anyone preaches another word to you, even if an angel comes from heaven and preaches another word from you, let him be accursed. We don't need a new word. We need to honor his word. You don't need a new one. Maybe God's answer today might be the same as it was in the time of Ezekiel. Let me repeat verse 2. Then this message came to me from the Lord, Son of Man, tell the leaders of Israel. This is what the sovereign Lord says. How dare you come and ask me for a message? As surely as I live, says the sovereign Lord, I will tell you nothing. You know what he's saying? Why do you want to listen to a new word from me when you've rejected every word I've ever given you? So let me ask a final question, and please be honest. Do you see national repentance over these two issues that brought down the nation of Judah? Does anybody in this room see national repentance over the two issues that brought down the superpower nation of Israel? Idolatry and child sacrifice. No. No. Idolatry is materialism and greed. And that's how we're going to make America great again. No, you won't. No, you won't. And the shedding of innocent blood, child sacrifice, abortion, will bring God's judgment. Not prosperity. I wonder how many angry emails I'll get for preaching this message today. And I'll tell you the number one point that will receive the most negative response when I brought up Make America Great Again. Did they love Ezekiel when he preached that message, chapter 20? Did they love Ezekiel for preaching chapter 20? I doubt it. I surely doubt that they appreciated Ezekiel's message, but here's the thing. It wasn't Ezekiel's message. It was God's message through Ezekiel. Ezekiel was God's prophetic spokesman, a watchman of God. And I can assure you it's not a popular calling. In fact, let me confirm to you why Ezekiel was Ezekiel and why he would say what he said, knowing they're not going to want to hear what he tells them. Let's go to Ezekiel 33, verse 7. Now, son of man, this is God speaking to Ezekiel. I am making you a watchman for the people of Israel. Therefore, listen to what I say and warn them for me. And if I announce that some wicked people are sure to die, and you fail to tell them, Ezekiel, to change their ways, then they will die in their sins, and I, God, will hold you, Ezekiel, responsible for their deaths, because I told you to warn them, and you didn't. But if you warn them, Ezekiel, to repent, and they don't repent, but you warn them, they will die in their sins, but you will have saved yourself. That's why Ezekiel did what Ezekiel did. I'm going to give King Solomon the last word today. Ecclesiastes 1:9. History merely repeats itself. Do you see it today? Is America running down the same road as Judah? It's all been done before. Nothing under the sun is truly new. Sometimes people say, here's something new, but actually it's old. Nothing is ever truly new. Why? Because we don't remember what happened in the past. And in future generations, no one will remember what we're doing now. I'll ask Chad to come on out for the invitation. And Jesus said that the coming of the Son of Man will be as it was in the days of Noah. And that makes me curious, what was it like in the days of Noah? We know there were angelic beings mixing with women and strange things were happening. He said, it's going to be like that again. And he said, and then after that, after the flood, there's the Tower of Babel, and they're trying to rebel against God and build this thing to get to heaven. Was that part of some supernatural angelic thing too? I don't know, but is history repeating itself again today? So the question is this, how are we ever going to break the cycle that we're just a new generation doing the same things that they did before? It's found in Revelation 21, and there's one sitting on the throne, and he makes this statement, behold, I make all things new. Everything will be made new. And no longer will there be people doing what people did. He says, I'm going to make everything new. And you know what? Then he looks at John, who's writing down the Revelation. He says, write this down, for these words are trustworthy and true. Somebody's going to break the cycle. He's going to make everything new. The one sitting on the throne, he's going to make everything new. But until then, what are we? We are people of the Word. We're not looking for a new word from God. We're still spending our lives trying to obey the original Word, the covenant of God. And on the night that Jesus, before he died, he said, I'm going to give you a new covenant. And this one will be sealed in my blood. And you'll become a people of the Word. You'll be a people of the covenant. And the covenant is the Word, and the Word is the covenant, and the Word's name is Jesus. And today, here's what he asks. We've all sinned. We've all broken God's law. We're all rebels by our very nature. So what do? I repent of those sins. I acknowledge my sin. I repent of that sin. I ask God to forgive me of that sin. And today, I don't know what this kind of a message does to anybody here. I know this. Something's coming. Our nation cannot live in rebellion and not eventually face God's judgment. And if we want to make America great again, individually, turn and face God. Face Him. Acknowledge who you really are in front of Him. Turn away from materialism and greed. Turn away. Purify your life. Allow the Holy Spirit to control you. Live, Jesus, live through you while we wait for His return. We trust everything else to Him. Everything else to Him. Let's stand.